go ahead and get started. I've got 9:13. Commissioner Gauthier is not with us today, but the rest of the court is present. See, I remembered today, Johnny.
Yes, you did.
Today's workshop purpose, item number one, presentation from LaBeach Architectural Group Incorporated in regards to the courthouse marble restoration.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate this opportunity to be here in front of you. I thought it would be a good idea for us to kind of walk the court through.
1 second. Would you mind, Kurt, would you give him a mic?
I can stand.
That one over there?
It don't matter. Just so long as she gets him on the recording.
Oh, this is fine. This is fine. Can you pick me up fine here? Wanted to take the opportunity with the court to go over the work that we're going to be doing on the building and give you all an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have about what we're going to do today. The good thing is that the building is in really good shape for its age. There's not a lot of things that we found that are they're very difficult to take care of. So in going through these things, I'll just kind of walk you through all the different types of work we're going to be doing and what that entails. The first thing is that we do have a few stones. For instance, I'll point here. This stone, you can see it's out from the surface. We've got a few stones on the building that I think what has happened to them is that the anchors, the metallic anchors that hold the stone into place, have started rusting and expanding. So when they rust and expand, they start to push this stone out. The stone really did not find it to be loose in any way, but one of the things that we're going to do is this stone in particular, where the O is, we're going to take it off. We're going to clean up the old anchors, install new anchors, and then reinstall it back onto the building.
Don, those anchors, will they be, I guess, longer lasting than the ones we had? I know the ones we had probably last a long time, but I mean, I wouldn't want to come back and do this ever, Try not to do it again.
We're going to either use stainless steel or bronze anchors. And it will depend on kind of what we find in the condition that those are in. But I'm thinking that probably what we find are not going to be usable in any way, nor are the old pockets that they sit in.
What were they made out of?
My guess is that they're probably bronze.
Okay.
That's my best guess at it. But they could have been steel. We did find some things up in the soffit above the ceiling, the marble ceiling, that have ferrous metal anchoring system.
So that rusts.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. We've got the same thing on the opposite side where the Y is. You can see that it's...
So it's the two ends, maybe.
Right.
Is that something that would be, or just... It's...
I think that maybe because of the side exposure of the stones...
Okay.
Maybe that could have had a little something to do with it. Some of this is that I'll have to tell you, we will know exactly what the problem is as soon as we get the stone off the building. But we'll probably make new pockets in the stone and new anchors on those in those conditions. And
that's my concern, is we go fix these two tiles here.
Right.
And next year, the next
the
year,
T
whatever, the T starts pushing out.
Well, with buildings of this age, things can happen that we don't see now that we see in the future, but I don't know that it's I hate to say take everything off and put it back,
right.
And then most of the stuff is really in good condition and we've wasted taxpayer money on it.
Yes.
So I want to kind of attack the things that we know are bad.
If that scenario did happen that Robert just mentioned, would it be, if the T messed up, you have to take the Y down to get to the T?
No, ma'am. You can just take the
individual stones
down. What we probably have to do in the center stones is, since I can't get to the edge of them, we probably have to take the cap stone off, and then we can get to the back side of the stone below it.
But right now we're not doing that.
That's correct. We also have stones that are doing the same thing at the base of the stairs. Here's one where the white area is. Here's one on the face of the stone that's on the right-hand side of the stair. And we also have the same thing happening on the left-hand side of the stair on the face there. And we've got one stone on the inside of the stairs. You can see where it's sticking out there. So, and that
now, that base one, where it comes down to the step, is that a step?
Yes, ma'am. These are steps.
Okay, is there a space there?
You're talking about right here? Is there
no, move up.
There's a gap that's occurring right there.
Okay, that's
where that white arrow is pointing.
Okay, I couldn't.
It's hard to tell because all of these things, someone has come and put sealant, black sealant in place, so you can't see. Some of it's kind of camouflaged.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, when we redo this, all of the black stone on the front of that building, we're going to take all of that sealant out and reapply. We're going to put new sealant on all of those cracks. So that's going to help us with what you were talking about, help us keep the water infiltration out from behind the stones.
Don, just to clear up, if I understood you correctly when we was talking about this before, the problem with all this, these anchors that are pulling out and so forth, it is because of water infiltration getting in back there, which would explain why it seems like most everything that you've got visible damage for is on an end or on an edge where water can more easily get in. So with that in mind, it may be, to your point, we may be lucky in that they're protecting the inner stones, and that's going to keep us from having to do some of this for a while.
And we're going to do some investigation. When they pull those two stones off, I want to see behind those. We're going to do a little investigation on it, because if we see that that's going to happen quickly, then we can take care of it right now, hopefully with the contingency that I've put in your budget for the project. This is another bad spot. This is up on the top stone on the side, on the right-hand side of the stair. And you can see that pieces have fallen out over time. Most of that you see there is just big areas of sealant. So in this case, we're going to install a Dutchman. And what a Dutchman is that we're going to take the bits and pieces, we're going to grind them up, put them in an epoxy amalgamation, and then we're going to reapply that as a patch to the stone using the original stone as our basis for color and texture. I know from my research that the marble on this building is called dark French gray. It is a product of China, and we have several sources in the U.S. that are stocking sources of this stone. So we may find that the contractors have to buy a few smaller pieces, then grind them up so that we can use them for these patches. This one is the worst. We have some little minor ones, like little things that are about that big, that we'll take care of as we go along. The next thing is cracks. We've got several cracks in the building. And when you look at our drawings, the drawings that I gave you, which are the ones that we're going to be using for construction documents, you'll see on those drawings we have dark lines that outline all the places where we have cracks. What we're going to do with the cracks is we're going to do an epoxy injection. So this is a very common way of fixing cracked stone on historic buildings. They take and insert the epoxy in there, and then that bonds those stones back together, and then we won't get a situation where they want to open, that crack wants to open up. And then, of course, our biggest concern is the soffit panel. And what we found is that we can get up above these soffit panels from that joint back to the glass. But these soffit panels, the ones that have the cracks in them, were applied directly to the reinforced concrete of the building. So in this case, we're going to take all of the soffit stone down. We've got several places where the way that these stones are in place, most of them, is there's a rod that comes down from a piece of iron. and that rod has a threaded fitting on the bottom of it. And that rosette has, that you see there, these rosettes. The rosette has a screw that goes in the center of the rosette. That screw screws into that sleeve that's above the stone. So in this case, you can see, I think in this case, someone came back and put a ferrous metal screw back into that rosette.
That rosette there? Or that?
Yes, ma'am. The rosette's in good shape.
Okay.
It's hard to see it because there's just a lot of corrosion on it. But all of the bronze rosettes are in good shape, and I think Kurt has one of them in his office. So the one he has in his office, we're going to put back into place.
Okay.
Are we going to clean those up when you put them in?
Yes. We're going to clean all the ferrous metal off of those bronze rosettes.
And they'll look bronze colored again?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I don't want to clean them so much that we get this bright polished bronze, because I want them to look like the old building.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to clean up the ferrous metal off of those. So we're going to take the rosettes and the screws out. We'll drop all the stones down. We will take a stone like that one that's cracked, and we make it's sort of like a fiberglass patch on the boat. We use a fiberglass material and epoxy, and we put those stones together, and then we put a patch on the backside of the stone that holds it all together. And we epoxy the crack in the stone, so we're holding that back together, and then we'll reinsert it back into its location. I'm hoping that we don't get into a stone when we take it down, just disintegrates into a lot of pieces. If we do have that happen, we'll have to cut a new piece of stone and put it in its place. But most of the stones here are in pretty good shape. This one is cracked, and that's our other crack, and we don't have any other cracks in that stone.
Only two major cracks?
There's two major ones. And you see they're all on these stones that are attached directly to the underside of that reinforced concrete. So some of this could be just the concrete over time expanding and contracting.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the water staining. Another problem that we have with the soffit is that the area above the stone is exposed to the air conditioning of the building. So in either side of that space above the stone soffit, it's open. What happens mainly during the summertime is we're cooling the buildings. We got cool air above the soffit. We got warm air below the soffit. So we got water that condensates, and it starts dripping, and you say, well, we got a roof leak. Well, not really in that particular case. So what we're going to do with that is we're going to take metal studs and exterior dry gypsum board sheathing, and we're going to seal up both sides. When we seal up the side that is near the access hatch, we're going to put a new access hatch so we can get into there in the future, but we can also seal it up. And when we do that, we're going to correct the... let's see if we've got a picture of that here. This is what's happening. This is one of the things you can see.
That's up in the soffit.
This is the soffit above. The stone soffit is here below. Those are the steel members that hold the soffit up. And there's a hole down there, and then, of course, on this end, I'm taking a picture through that hole.
But they're not rusted, the ones.
No, these are in great shape.
They look like...
Yeah, those are painted, and no deterioration on those at all. But what we do have is, you see this water line right here?
Mm-hmm, sure do.
Well, what's happening is we're getting water through the brick wall. It's coming down to the reinforced concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. It's coming down to the reinforced concrete. Then it goes across the reinforced concrete till it hits a low spot, and then it drips, and you can see that it's been dripping on that pipe. And then that pipe has been dripping. That's where the hole is
in the
soffit.
Gotcha.
The plaster soffit in that little mechanical room. So when we do the roofing, we're going to put a sealant on that brick that's going to prevent this water from coming through.
Sealant on all that brick up there, or just where there's a problem?
This sealant is a clear sealant,
mm-hmm,
to prevent water from passing through the brick.
So you put it on all of it?
Inside of that little pocket where the flagpole sits. So we know that we're getting water through the wall, not through the drain, in that particular condition. Here's the inside of that mechanical room. That's been caused by that water that I showed you. We're going to replace this with a new hatch that can be sealed, and we're going to fix the plaster ceiling in there. So we'll probably end up having to take out plaster all the way back into here and probably all the way back into there to get back to good lath. And
will you replace it with plaster ceiling?
Yes, ma'am. It'll go back with the same gypsum, historic gypsum plaster that was used in the original building. We're still using
gypsum plaster.
Since you're doing it anyway, would it be wise? And I don't know, because Kurt, is that where we? That's not where. That's the first place you took me. That's not where we ended up. But if that access hatch is as small as the other one, since we're doing all this, it might be wise to make it a little bit bigger, you think?
We could.
Make it a little easier.
That was a 24 by 24 right now.
Yeah, make it a little easier for maintenance.
Sure.
I'm looking out for you.
Yeah, I think that probably if we went to a 30 by 30, that's
whatever. Again, We'll get to the numbers in a minute, but just something to think about while y'all are rolling through that to make it easier to get up there and inspect.
Sure. The other thing that we're going to do is we're going to attack the steel window frame system on the front of the courthouse. We're going to take all the glazing will be taken out one piece at a time. You can see right here how badly corroded the steel is in the window frame. We're going to be taking all of that rust off back down to good metal. If it's in really bad shape, then we'll be bondoing, or we will be taking pieces of steel and welding them back into place and then grinding them smooth to get the window frames back where they're in like new condition. After we do that, we're going to take a turmeric paint, which is a really extremely good, like automobile paint. Paint those frames, put the glass back in, and wet glaze the system. So when we get through with it, all of our frames should be nice, new, all painted, all the glass back in, and we'll be all glazed back in using a sealant instead of the old method of putty.
And then after you do all this, is it going to be easier for like Kurt's department to maintain it?
Well, yes, ma'am. Well, it's going to be really easier to clean it.
That's
you know,
what I'm
right
doing.
Now it's hard to clean because of all the rust on the edges and things. So, yes, ma'am, it'll be much easier to maintain. Once we do this process, Kurt's never going to have to worry about the
okay,
rust.
Okay, good.
Again.
That's nice for Kurt.
It's going to be a long time. Probably none of us will have to worry
well,
about
that's
it.
A good thing.
That system is very good. Plus, it's protected, too. You know, this isn't really exposed to the weather like your other windows are in the building. This is that little roof area. So these walls in here... when they did the last roof in this project, they put some surface-mounted flashings. Because the old roof on the original building, they actually had pockets in the reinforced concrete, and they took and tucked this old coal tar pitch up into the pockets in the reinforced concrete, and that then if you had some water migration through the brick or through the concrete, those pockets kind of caught that water and forced it back out again. Well, in this case, we have surface-mounted flashings that rely on a bead of sealant to keep water from getting behind the flashings. So what we're going to do with those flashings is we're going to take all those flashings off. First, we're going to put a new 2-ply modified bitumen roof system here. We're going to take the flashings off. We're going to cut into the joint of the brick and do a stab-in flashing that will go about an inch into the brick. Let's see. Picture here. It is this detail on this side. So we've got a flashing that will stab into the brick, and then from that flashing up to the parapet, We're going to use a masonry sealant that we can get a 10-year warranty on for water infiltration. All that will be clean, that brick will be clean, and that will be put on. Put the new roof system in. We'll be replacing the drain with a new drain in that area and sloping all of the roof surface to that drain in that little area. And then on the back side, of the, this is the Eagle. We've got some loose stone panels here. So we're going to take those off, see what's making them buckle, and then reapply these with new flashing under them. And then on the back side here, instead of using a 2-ply modified, which is not really a good wall flashing material, probably going to use metal wall panels there. We can get a much much better protection from water infiltration using those panels. So that's where that red area is. Not a big area to re-roof, but we've got this opportunity to do it, so we're going to take care of that area.
Please.
There go, two details. Now, when we do our discovery with our mason, if there is a pocket behind that masonry, there's two things that could happen with that masonry wall. Number one, it's three layers of brick all mortared together. The other thing is there's two layers of brick. There's a drainage cavity like you would have on your home when you put sheathing, a space, and then brick. That cavity would have been meant for any water getting through the brick to come to the bottom and come out through weeps. I don't find any weeps there, but it's hard to tell because there's other flashings that they put on at a later time are up above where those weeps would be. So if when I take those flashings off, I find weeps, we'll use the detail on the right-hand side, which means I'll be able to take the flashing completely through the wall, up the wall, and establish a good flashing so any water getting through the wall that comes down will be forced back out onto the roof surface. So it'll be one of those two methods that we use on the flashings.
It could be beautiful.
So just wanted to remind you again of our budget. We're going to be cleaning all the black stone on the building, including the stone in the windows around the building. We're not going to be cleaning the brick. The brick's in really good shape, and it's really clean right now.
So you won't do any pressure washing or anything like
that? We're going to do some low pressure warm water washing.
So that you don't.
No more than 200 pounds of pressure, so we don't pit any of the stone. And just warm water, unless we find an area that we have a stain that's really bad, then we will use a special detergent for historic stone. But I prefer just to use warm water to start out to clean the building at low pressure.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, on some of your pictures, we have some what appears to be rust staining. You'll be able to get that off
right.
That detergent.
That's something that we'd probably have to use a detergent to take
off. And then there's mold on some of that on the bottom.
Yeah, there's a lot of green.
I guess that's mold. I don't know what it is. It's green.
Basically from our moisture that we have.
You washing the whole
thing? No, sir. Just the black stone and the areas where the windows are. We're not washing the brick. Our next thing is our stone removal and replacement.
Don, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
sure.
But before we get into the budget numbers, I did have one question. It's really for Kurt. We talked about that drain up there. I remember the discussion was it functioning properly? And even if it did function properly, is it sufficient? What did y'all come up with?
It is functioning. Once we took all the tar that has got hot and
yeah.
It was plugging up the drain. And it was overflowing, and we put a Roto-Rooter inside there to break up all the tar that had got inside the drain, and it was backing it up. But as far as we know from the rain events that we've had recently and being on top of the roof, it's dry.
Okay, so it's sufficient
it
in size. And I don't know what kind of Roto-Rooter you use to get tar out, but good job.
We did.
Because that's not easy.
No.
Okay. I just want to make sure because... I knew that was a concern for you.
And the tar was what was creating a big problem on that drain. It was just kept backing up when it would rain hard. It was flooding that area where that flagpole is.
Yeah, I remember you saying that. Let's make sure that the next time we do a roof, we don't tar into that.
Yeah.
What are you going to use?
Well, we're not going to tar into the drain.
Tar into the drain.
And saw that, we didn't actually know until we went up there and was like, oh, wait a minute.
Okay. I'm sorry, Don.
One other thing that we're going to do is our roof access right now, you went up that ladder.
Yeah.
Very dangerous, that ladder.
Now you tell me.
So I'm... As part of this project, I've got a new ladder that we're going to put in that's OSHA. It meets the OSHA regulations. That'll be enough far enough away from the wall so we can get our feet on all the rungs. So that's not a very expensive component, but it's something that's really needed for safety for your staff there. The epoxy injection, we talked about that. Window frame restoration and glazing, the roofing and flashing in those areas. Interior construction, that's the inside patches that I told you about, the little walls to prevent the AC from getting to that area, those things. Then our fees, and then the contingency and our budget.
While we're on budget, the Orange County Courthouse lettering up there, is that going to be redone? I would assume with all the work you're doing on the marble, a lot of that white or whatever it is going to come off.
Yeah, it's a luminescent paint that's on there right now. We hadn't planned. It still shows up fairly well, so I hadn't planned on doing that, but that's another item that we could use our contingency
is
for
after we cleaned it. On what? Is the lettering engraved into the...
Yes, ma'am. It's cut into the stone.
Cut into the stone.
And then there's like a silver paint that was painted.
What if you changed it to the same thing that you're going to do those little...
Tanemic paint?
Uh-huh.
That's really made for steel. This is stone.
So
it's
this
more
you
porous,
can...
So
but could you match a color like that? How would that look?
I mean... Just match the same silver. It should look exactly like it looks today.
No, the ones that the little bronze or the little flowers.
The rosettes.
What color are they when they're clean?
Well, they're going to be a dark bronze color unless we polish them. So we can get them back to a polished finish, but that in historic restoration, that's like a no-no.
That's like
a no-no.
Okay, yeah. But if you did the lettering in something that was near that color, would that stand out enough?
No. You need that stark contrast,
okay.
That white on black, in this case silver on black, to be able to see it from a distance.
Okay.
My first opinion, I like to leave the letter the way it is. It gives it a little bit of that historical look.
It was this slide that made me think about it.
Let me see.
Well, I didn't notice any places where the paint that they put in there was cracking or coming off. So, you know... Seems to me like whatever was put there was doing a pretty good job.
I mean, 19 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many? 19, I think. Is that what
you said, 19 years ago? But
it's
really
like
the
E and the T was kind of fading out a little bit. Just.
And that could be just dirt in there.
It could be.
Then warm water, low pressure wash ought to take care of
that. Let's clean it first, and then we'll take a look at it.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because it's not that's not a big budget item.
No, that's not.
Get somebody to paint it.
It's nice to see a picture of the courthouse without the scaffolding.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just so pretty.
Well, the other thing is that...
that picture's awesome.
We're going to tell the contractor that he can use the scaffold. So, you know, we're going to... It's not like you've wasted money on the scaffold. He's going to use that scaffold.
On the budget, while we're on the numbers there, the $50,000 in contingency, just for the record, I wanted to point out, and we've talked about this already, if anybody's ever built, and I'm sure y'all already know, but you build something new, you can get it kind of close to the dollar. But you never know what you're going to run into when you pull something off, something old. So I understand why you have that there, Mr. LaBeach has agreed to work with us and watch that cost very closely.
Well, that's a more realistic budget rather than coming in.
yeah,
with something and then have to add it at the end. I'd much rather have that contingency in there than if you have to use it, it's there. But hopefully we can do without having it.
They do that on HGTV all the time.
A point of order here. Is that, if it's,
it's a workshop, go ahead.
I had a customer ask me recently about the eagle, and he said he thought there was an eagle on the old courthouse and was wondering if this was the same eagle. Anybody know?
That's
about
more
that?
Of a Kurt type question.
I don't know. Even know
the,
any.
The original drawings of this building have that eagle on the drawings.
Mm-hmm. Where is the eagle? I mean, originally, where was it?
Behind the scaffolding.
It's right here is where that eagle is.
Oh, I see.
Just a
here.
Point of order, too. January the 5th was the anniversary of the county. Just so you know.
How cool.
Might want to know that.
Then this is its anniversary present.
Yeah.
There's a little bit better picture of that.
Now, I noticed in the, and this goes into landscaping, but I noticed in the on these original courthouse pictures, there is no shrubbery or anything up against the courthouse. Is that a good thing?
Yes, ma'am.
You really don't have anything up there.
Shrubbery can.
What about
can,
short beds or short boxwood or something? Away from it, not
that's
close
correct.
To it, but away from it. Oh, would that be
point.
Permissible?
Should we consider?
We removed all the bushes that were on the left hand side of the courthouse approximately 8 years ago. It was just overwhelmed with weeds and everything inside there. We removed them at the request. At one time, the master gardeners wanted to put some more azaleas in front, and we never did. Which just it looks cleaner without anything there, to be honest with you.
What about the right hand side?
The right-hand side still has some azaleas.
Yeah, I mean, we got some plans on the... They're going to need them out of the way anyway, so...
That's not a problem in my part of removing them.
I wouldn't think so. And if you're saying that that would help keep it cleaner... And
it just does. You know, plants hide termites that can come up and get into the building. It's just much better. In fact, if we ever do any work around the base of the building, we actually need to take some dirt out of there, because some of that dirt is at or above the weep holes at the bottom of these walls.
Okay.
So
that would be possible to put the pavers down there and take all the vegetation out and put some kind of paver system right there at the base of the wall.
Ooh, I think
that would give it a clean look and eliminate the problem we're having with any kind of plants being there hiding.
I mean, somebody in the county could take that on as a dedication deal, and you could do dedication bricks.
Yeah, he's right there to your left. Anyhow, do you think that that there may be weep holes there that are covered up, that that's actually causing us a problem backing up water?
There are some areas that the dirt is above the weeds, so water can't very easily get out. You know, we got a lot of water right now.
It's where the
exterior wall, the black stone meets the dirt out there. So I don't know exactly. You've got you have a crawl space under this building?
Yes.
So I don't know where the crawl space stops and the first floor starts. I think that it's probably the crawl space is where the weed.
Do we have
are.
Sump pumps down there?
In the basement, we do.
We do?
Yes.
And they were working during...
Not underneath the courthouse floor. There's no pumps. But we have a basement, and we have two sump pumps.
That's where... I lived in Illinois, and I never heard of a sump pump before.
Barring any major unforeseens, how long of a period of work are we talking about?
I think we're talking probably 90 to 120 days.
That's 3 months.
Does that include the process, the bidding process, the 4 weeks?
No, sir. That's the construction.
That's the actual.
So July 4th would be a good target date to hopefully wrap all this up before July 4th.
And realize that sometimes we don't know exactly all the components that we need to fix something until we take it apart. So there's some slack time there where I got to order something or I got to get a piece of that stone. wherever it is in the U.S. or in China, and that can take some time.
That's why I said any, barring, you know, any major unforeseen. That,
so we have 5.5 months until the 4th, and hopefully we finish it and maybe even do some kind of dedication.
Oh, that'd be great.
Well, I have put liquidated damages in our bid form. I think it's $200 a day for not completing the work on time. Provided that your attorney has the front end documents.
She's right there. So,
she's reviewing those, and
yes,
I need
she
to.
Is.
And that's still always a hard thing in a job like this, because, like you said, we pull a panel down, we don't know what's on the other side.
Yes.
But just going by what you asked, that put us at about 5 months, because it's going to take 4 weeks plus a little bit to get the bid process done, and then assuming 120 days, so it'd be kind of tight.
That would be nice if we could.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the specifications? These are the specifications that we would put for to go out on bids with.
Is there?
Or do we have to go out on bids?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do on bids.
That's the 4 week process.
The type of people that do this kind of work, is that going to be a hindrance in finding someone?
You've got one of your county residents that's one of the best in this part of the state, Marsh Waterproofing.
Right.
And they'll be very interested in doing it. Other
Where
than
are
them,
they from?
We'll be looking at people from right. San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas
right.
that do this type of work.
Are you already to the point where you're working with purchasing on getting that set up? Or are we about to be there?
Yes, sir. We're about to be there as soon as I get back the front end documents and those approvals. We have also a book of specifications in writing that tells somebody how to wash the building, to do these things. So that's another component of the construction documents. You're just seeing the drawings there.
But is that some of those specifications, like you said, you've got for the water and the stuff?
We're very specific about what we want to do.
Would our own maintenance department be able to do that, or do you hire that out? I mean, I don't know.
To do what now?
To do the water cleaning that he's talking about?
No, that's going to be... Yeah.
Leave it to the professionals.
In this case, yeah, it's not a normal pressure washer.
No, it's right. not. I know we were washing the Vider City Hall, which is stucco. There was a lot of...
Unstucco?
No, it was pretty detailed in how it's to be washed.
You have to be careful.
You brought up Marsh, and they handled it pretty well.
Yeah.
Judge, are we going to need another agenda item? I can't remember where we're at on that.
We have approved LaBiche and the architectural group. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we're about to discuss that now. We've approved them. We will have to approve, once the bids come in, who we want to have the work. So that's where we're at right now.
So we
will have another item on it.
Do we need an item to submit the bids, or we've already taken care of that through the LaBiche motion?
If I'm not mistaken, what we approved for them was including vetting the contractors.
That's why I asked you the question, Judge. I didn't know if we needed to come up in court to approve
or assisting us in doing so.
I think we gave you that authority the last agenda item we had on it. We gave
for him, yeah. And we also, not only that, they also are, and correct me if I'm wrong, sir, but I believe you're also doing the reporting to the Texas Historical Commission as part of your fee.
Right, that's correct. So after court today, since we haven't added any new items of work, I'm going to be sending these drawings and specifications to THC for their approval. As soon as we get their letter back, then we can start work. We can do all our bidding process without getting a letter.
How long does that usually take?
It will take them 4 to 6 weeks. But
so we're not going to even get to go out for bids for 4 to 6 weeks?
Not necessarily. About 3 weeks ago, I started making contact with THC, telling them what our situation was, how critical it was to get the work finished, and told them basically what we were planning on doing, and told them that I'd like a fast turnaround on this, because they're basically going to look at this and see that we're not modifying the courthouse.
Right.
And going to say, okay, I've sent a lot of projects through with these people. They know who I am. They know the type of documents and the type of work that we expect. So.
And they ought to be real familiar with this courthouse. We've been working with them. So.
I can't tell you how many people up there said they can't wait to get that scaffold. Yeah.
One thing before we continue, I was getting kind of a hairy eyebrow look back there. Are we remembering something incorrectly?
Yeah, I don't believe that our agenda item approving LaBiche contained language also approving purchasing going out for the bids. I think there would be another agenda item to authorize the purchasing agent to actually go out for those bids. The second question is whether we're looking at a bid process or an RFP process. And my understanding is that comes down to how detailed the scope of work is as to whether that can be a bid or an RFP, and if it's an RFP, there has to be the process of designating the committee. All of that has to be done by the court as well.
To answer your questions from what I'm understanding, then, if that's the case, first of all, we probably could get it on the next agenda so that we could move forward. Ms. Bailey hasn't sent it out yet because of another snag, so maybe we can get, if you'll assist us with the writing on that, for the agenda item, and or Connie can. And then the second portion of that, which was?
Well, we have to determine if it's
The RFP or a bid. If I'm not mistaken, you actually have a very detailed scope of work ready, so we could probably do it as a bid process. But I'll let you address that.
What I proposed in the information that I sent to you all was that there was a process of evaluating the bids. So it was more of a proposal, not a bid. And each thing has a weight. The bid itself is worth a certain number of points. The reputation of the person is worth a certain number of points. Their experience with doing historic restoration is worth a certain number of points. So on and so forth. I think you may have seen that in the documents that I sent you. So that's what I prefer to do, just because every once in a while you get somebody that thinks they can do historic restoration and they throw a low bid at it. And then it's a nightmare for all of us
trying to explain.
So then regardless
of... You're recommending the committee with probably you on that committee to help us with
okay, that. Okay, so regardless of that detailed scope of work that you have, you'd still want it in that regard. Well, that's going to add to our time, just so everybody's aware.
We'll put that on the next agenda to create the committee.
We're still waiting on an answer from the historical.
You can't even do anything with that committee until we get the bid.
Right.
I just don't want anybody to walk away from this and say, well, they said it. No offense, Dave. Dave walks away from here and says it's going to be 5 months. I just want to let you know that we'll add a couple weeks to this.
Well, that committee, by the time that we get the bids back, that committee can react pretty quick.
No, I understand that. I'm just being clear so everybody understands.
Is there a requirement how big that committee has to be?
No, not really. It can be, it needs to be a reasonable amount. You don't want a committee of two, and it has to be an odd number. Normally, we run five or seven. We'll take suggestions. And usually, Connie's not part of the committee, but she observes the committee's findings. Almost has to.
So I just want to get this clear. At this point, we are going to, you're going to write the proposal and all that sort of thing. We've already got the specifications. So now we have to go through the court, on the agenda, and approve this. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? Which we could do on Tuesday possibly? Or is it too late?
Well, what I'm trying to do is make sure we have the ability to put on the agenda. First off, and I'm sorry, I can't even remember what I said a second ago.
We're going to go out for proposals and then we're going to form a committee.
Okay. So we'll have both of those on if we can get them in.
On the agenda, though, to do
for
that.
The agenda.
Could we do that Tuesday?
Yes. If we get out of here in time and get that on the posted agenda, as long as it's put out 72 hours, we should be good to go. The thing that I'd ask you all to do is, in the meantime, think about who you would like on it. I mean, for obvious reasons, since that's part of their proposal. And we almost always include legal. Purchasing is usually, because of their job, not included on purpose. And then they observe the meetings, unless I'm wrong. That's what Connie told me. And then y'all think about who else you want on there, and we can work it out for
But I'm trying to figure out a little bit of a timeline. So then we have the agenda, and let's say that's approved. Then the next step would be to go to where you apply for the historic. You said something
about I'm going to do that today.
You're going to do that
today. I don't need the court's approval to send that letter.
Thank you.
Letter off.
Then, but we have to go out for bids, correct? Which we can do after the meeting, or do we have to wait till after the
committee? We'll go out for proposals.
Well, that's awesome. Proposals.
Okay. Then we go from there to actually hiring someone.
Well, the committee will recommend.
The committee will recommend
who they want, and then
that'll
the court will vote.
That'll have to come to court, and then the court will have to
And
vote.
Will we have a list of people that are? Or we already maybe do, I don't know, that are capable of doing this?
That's what I asked him, and he said he feels like we'll have some qualified
people. I have a whole list of historic restoration people that once the court says that they can publish the documents, that I will electronically send the documents and a invitation for them.
Thank you.
To give us a proposal.
And I'd like to say I like your idea of the, sounds like you kind of come up with a hybrid of an RFP and the bids, because there's issues both ways, and it sounds like you might have found, as long as it fits legal, a way to combine the two processes that take probably the best of both of them.
Well, there's a part of that is a reason, and I want to thank you for this, is LaBiche is not going to be gone once we hire these contractors. They're going to be here, correct me if I'm wrong, through the whole process to make sure that they're doing it correctly.
You're going to get a weekly report from me with pictures about what's going on. If there's any kind of item that comes up, if I messed up, if the contractor messed up, if we found something, it's going to be on that document. I don't have a problem if we mess up stepping forward and saying, court, I messed up on this thing. This is what I'm going to do to correct it.
I appreciate that.
Because we take responsibility for our work. So you will get a weekly report. We'll have pictures. We'll have up-close pictures of things that you can see them, and kind of it'll be a description of what work's going on and any things that need to be done. If I need something from the court, it'll say on there, I need approval for this, or this came up, so I want to use this amount of the contingency to do this thing, and so that you'll always be aware of what's going on.
So the timeline I'm trying to get to is, how long before we can actually start work?
Okay, this is what I think we got. I think we got probably about a week, at least a week before you can set an advertisement. Once we place the advertisement, we need 1 month of time to take the proposals. And that's because we're going to have a pre-bid meeting here so that everybody can see what the work is. We've got some things legally we have to do. We have to have it posted in the paper twice, and then it's got to be a week beyond that before we can take bids.
But that goes in that 4 week.
That goes in that 4 week time frame. Now, once you get that, it's going to take you a couple of weeks to get that approved, get it through court. Provided, you know, I like to set the bid date so they're close to a court date, so that we can get it on the agenda. So I'm sure that the purchasing will set that up, so when we get it, we can evaluate it. I don't think it's going to take more than a couple of days to evaluate. Most everybody that we get a proposal from, I already have reams of paper on their qualifications.
Okay.
So you know, say you got 1 or 2 weeks after we receive bids just to get things in a row. The contractor's got to have some time to mobilize. They're going to have to bring equipment out. They've got to get insurance certificates issued, bonds issued, those kind of things. And then we can start work. So I think we're a month and a half to 2 months in there
before we can start.
If everything goes smooth, no problem.
Yeah. 2 months before we start.
So we can.
If there's a hiccup,
it's longer. I just want to tell you, I've been very impressed with your presentation and with your qualifications, and it sounds like your experience working with historical buildings. And I think that I appreciate the time you spent with us and the time that you have spent going to our courthouse and looking at every nook and crack. I'm not going to say cranny. I'm going to say crack in the courthouse. And I think you know the situation well, and I appreciate your work.
Well, thank you. There are some people behind the scenes. One in particular, his name is Gerald Moorhead. He's been doing historic restoration for over 50 years. He retired a couple of years ago, but I won't let him retire when we start out one of
not
these projects.
Not to
Kurt met Gerald. When we start a project, I have Gerald walk the project with me, and we together identify all the things and how we're going to fix those things.
Now,
and it seems to work really well, and we're usually pretty comprehensive on
one question I have. Do y'all will the contractors use their own equipment? They'll bring all their equipment, or will they use county equipment?
No, ma'am. We do not want them working on county equipment.
Okay.
We do not want to be responsible for insurance for their
people.
All of that equipment will be theirs. They will put a porta potty somewhere on site that's theirs. They will put a dumpster on site that is theirs.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably identify an area working with Kurt where they can stage things so that we can keep that stuff neat.
Well, I just want to say I think the whole county is ready for this, past ready for this. And I feel positive after this meeting today and confident with you that we're going to get our courthouse brought back to its original glory. And it would be the perfect world if we could have a dedication like Johnny said on July 4th, because we've got the fireworks down at the river. We've got, you know, it could all coincide, but maybe it won't happen.
Well,
but it,
I don't know. I'd be very surprised if
it did.
Don't get,
but at least they'll see then. Something's happening.
Well, I don't think the contractors can afford for it to go much.
Before we get our cart ahead of the horse here, we've got a couple other pieces of business with this workshop. One of them, I'm assuming, is yours.
A question has been raised about the mandatory pre-bid meeting. This has come up in a couple of times that we've gone out for proposals, and the issue before the court is whether to make that pre-bid meeting for potential bidders mandatory or permissive. There is a concern that if you make the pre-bid meeting mandatory, that ultimately if only one or two people show up, you're limiting your ability to get a bid from people who may not be able to make the meeting or may not see the notice about the meeting, but could very well do good work. So,
well, I guess my concern is I think you have to see it. I think you have to see it and see what's going on, and I think that's part of that pre-bid meeting. I'd hate for somebody to bid on it and not have seen it.
And all of a sudden,
the question has been raised. It's something you guys, as a court, will need to decide.
Well,
what do you
recommend? I think he hit on this by doing this with an RFP. I think one of those criteria you looked at personally, if they didn't show up, to me that would be that would reflect in my score.
I agree with you. I mean, with this combination, basically, of combining an RFP with a point system.
Mm-hmm.
That weights according to his, you know, his experience and what's important and stuff, accomplishes, I think, what you're needing.
Which means we could make it permissive then.
And just make it a factor to consider.
Right.
You mean like they would get more points if they showed up?
Well, it could be a category if he deemed it necessary that you got points for, that would put you naturally ahead of somebody who did not show up.
The other thing is, what we've done in the past, every once in a while, we hit a date that's just bad for people.
Right.
When that's happened before, I've just sent out an addenda that says we're going to have another pre-bid meeting on this date that allows some more people to be part of it. So we've done that before, too.
So basically, how many years of experience you got on historical restoration?
I've been doing it for about 16 years.
And you've dealt with many different contractors who routinely deal in this historical restoration. So I think that that's what I really liked about your combination of the process.
I think we're saying with your expertise and the scoring system,
right,
we'll be okay.
We'll be okay.
You know, our only deal is this is a tiny project for these guys.
In comparison, yes.
Right, So I've got to call in some favors with some of these guys. I just basically call them up and say, look, you know, I called you up on the big stuff.
On the big stuff.
I've got some other stuff.
Right.
And I need you to give me a proposal.
Right.
And they're usually very accommodating on that. that so that we get enough proposals.
So, well, I feel pretty confident with one. You gave us really good detailed information. I do appreciate that. And your experience in that and your experience working with people who do this type of work, I feel pretty good about where we're going on this.
I do too. Well,
that was one piece of business. Now we have a second one that the courts, well, our department heads are going to want courts direction on. There's a budget sheet in here. It explains how much this is likely going to cost. Of course, we don't have bids yet, but we are going to have to, and I would guess Connie and Kurt, you two will probably have to work with, and Penny wasn't here earlier, but work with the auditor's office to determine where, what line item, and this money's going to come from. Now, it's my understanding, Kurt, and we talked about this before, that part of this was looking at using the Way Services rebate funds. I know that was discussed when we did the budget last year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I believe we got two checks, and Johnny, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but the total was $175,000. It's like one for $125 and one for $150.
That's correct.
Okay. Will you and Connie work with the auditor's office to make sure that when the time comes, if we find somebody, we can get this ball rolling, that we don't have to sit around and wait and figure out, well, where's this money going to come from? Can we work on the groundwork on that so we don't delay these folks?
Sure.
Okay. Is there any other business or questions?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have a statement and a question. Number one, it was alluded that people messed up reporting timelines, and I got to tell you, I have never written anything that wouldn't come directly from some architect's mouth or a court member. And if they were wrong, it's not my fault. So going back to today, summing up the last 15 minutes of how long it'll take, I've got 1.5 to 2 months before you can start construction, and then I've got 3 to 4 months for construction. Is that right? So I guess to sum that up, that would be, what's the far end of that? So I don't know.
Six months?
Probably August is the far end.
Depending on weather.
And you always have that.
Yeah, I would recommend you put in there pending on weather.
I generally do.
Pending any unforeseen scope of work that comes up as you open up the can of worms.
If not, I'll be writing a story saying there were weather delays because it's rained 29 out of 30 days.
Not here.
And I mean, you can't overemphasize in work like this that when you start pulling panels off, you don't know what's behind it.
In the bid process and all, the contractor, as far as the deadline date, what are y'all giving them for weather-related? Are you doing one for one, or are you going to do a two for one, or how's it going to go for makeup time? Is that going to be put in there for?
The way that we handle rain days is that at the end of each month, contractor submits a proposal for a change order to add days for rain days. To submit that, he has to send to me the NOAA report that says that there was a 20% chance or better of rain the day that he did not work. And where that 20% comes in, most of their insurance says, particularly roofers, say if there's 20% chance of rain or better, you can't work because we're not going to cover you with insurance. So they submit those on a monthly basis. That doesn't go to the very end of the project. If you don't submit any this month, you don't get any. And we do that on a monthly basis, and I usually come to court and make a monthly report. I can come more often. In fact, please let me know anytime that the court would like me to come and answer any questions. I'm more than happy to come.
I wasn't aware of any days down here we have a 20%.
So that is mainly for our roofer, but on some people's insurance, working on scaffolds and things, they say.
Didn't we have to repair that scaffold, Kurt?
Yes, ma'am. The scaffolding has been recertified back November.
Okay.
The company that Top Deck, they came out and took all the rotted wood and tightened up everything and put some aluminum boards up to make it all secure. that was recertified in November.
I've been on every deck, and it's
okay. It's good. But it wasn't, but now it is.
First time I got up there, I got scared and got down because there were some areas that wood just didn't look safe.
Well, most of your contractors are going to probably bring their own.
Well, since we've got the scaffolding up, I'm going to tell them that they can use that scaffolding.
Okay.
It saves cost.
Right. It saves you some money. And then as soon as they get that soffit work done, they're going to want to start taking some of those upper levels down. So as they tell that guy to take those levels down, then we pay less rent for scaffolding.
Have you spoken to the to Top Deck?
No, I have not.
What was the purpose of putting the scaffolding up?
The court approved the scaffolding to be put there in case any marble was to fall, to catch the marble where it wouldn't bust up in little bitty small pieces. The county paid $2,500 to have it erected about 3.5 years ago. We paid $1,500 in November to get it recertified, and it would cost the county $2,500 to have it taken down.
He brought up the I word. Is Top Deck going to have an issue using it for actual construction?
It's not that I would be, I mean, what Don said about taking some down as they move further down on the project, I couldn't call Top Deck to come and pick up because it's going to cost the county $2,500 for them to either take it down or come pick up their equipment. That was the agreement back when it was signed off about 3.5 years ago. So if they start taking it down, it'll just have to be placed someplace where nobody can steal anything, which we can do that, but we would call them after everything is 100% complete.
And then we don't have to pay the $2,500.
No, we'll have to pay the
$2,500. Yes, only one time. Yeah.
But just one.
Yes, ma'am.
I need to go back and review my documents because I'm...
Well, we have a confused look behind you too. So, what's I know you have a question.
No, I produced that as an open records, and I don't remember there being a $2,500 charge for removal.
I think everything was already.
It's been a while, but I don't remember seeing that. I'll have to look at it as well.
I guess my concern was more if it was placed there in order to protect folks from the marble falling or whatever. If it's now going to be used for construction purposes, do we have to revisit that?
Yeah, so I'm saying we need to go back and review our documents.
Let's get that cleared up.
Yes.
Just let me know. I can always write addenda. Well, up until we have our pre-bid,
right.
I'll either tell them they can or they can't. So if they
now,
can't,
the fence in front belongs to the county. So
Connie will be able to give you the answer once she researches it.
Sure. Well, I'm sure we'll be able to come to an agreement with Top Deck if we need to do something further than we can still use that scaffold. We may have to make some changes.
Okay. Since it's up, I said, you know, we can save us some money.
Yep.
I agree. I appreciate that.
Okay. Is there any other questions or concerns, issues, before we adjourn?
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm so glad we're getting started on this.
We will adjourn at 10:16.